Hey, so tonight we're going to continue our series, How to Study the Bible. We're going to have a little different twist, do something a little different tonight, but you're definitely going to need an outline. And so if you don't have one of these outlines, they have some in the back. Somebody could pass one to you, but tonight is one of those nights it will be hard to get through this without being able to look on one of our outlines. And so we've been working in recent weeks on the 10 rules for Bible interpretation. I won't go back through those, but we looked at the first 8 of those 10. And so last week, or the last 2 weeks that we've been doing this, we've been talking about different genres of Scripture. And we've learned that different passages of Scripture, depending on where you're reading in the Bible, have to be interpreted different ways. You can't read the Psalms the same way you read the Proverbs. And you can't read the Proverbs the same way you read the parables. And you can't read the parables the same way you read the Old Testament law. And on and on and on, it's important to know what kind of literature you're reading when you're studying through the Bible in order to really understand what God has to say. And so one of the things we did last week was to look specifically at how we read the Psalms. The Psalms are filled with poetry, and so we learned that there are some special ways that you read biblical poetry. And then the Psalms are also filled with prayers. And so we've looked at some of those prayers. Last week we looked at something called the imprecatory prayers and how we read some of these very difficult passages in the book of Psalms. What I want to do tonight is go back to the book of Psalms, and I want to talk to you about how to pray the Psalms. But really to do that, I want to talk about one of the struggles that people have with prayer. Most people, now I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but most people don't pray well. Most people not only don't pray well, most people don't pray much. Why don't we pray more than we do? I mean, if God is God, if He is our Heavenly Father and anxious to hear from us, if He is the one who has all power and all wisdom and all knowledge, if He is so good and cares for us and wants to meet our needs, then why don't we pray more than we pray? And why don't we enjoy praying more than we do? I think a lot of people, when they do pray, it's a little bit of a, well, it's what I'm supposed to do. And you feel pressured to pray. You feel guilty when you don't pray. And so you pray, you press on in prayer perhaps, but you don't enjoy praying. So why don't we pray more than we pray? And why don't we enjoy praying when we do pray? And I think a lot of Christians, I think a lot of people who go to church every single week are wondering, is there something wrong with me? Is there something wrong with my walk with God that I don't pray more, that I don't enjoy praying more, that it's not more of a passion and a priority in my life? Is there something wrong with me? Well, I want to tell you tonight, there's not something wrong with you, most likely. Now, there could be. There's not something wrong with you. I think there's something wrong, though, often with how we pray. And we can talk about prayer for hours and hours and hours, but I want to show you how prayer intersects with the Psalms tonight. And so we're learning how to read the Bible. I want to show you how reading the Psalms can revolutionize your prayer life and make prayer something you'll do more often and something that you'll enjoy doing every day. So why is it that we don't pray and we don't enjoy praying? Well, first of all, we tend to pray the same old things about the same old things. I don't know about your prayers, but mine, if I'm not careful, if I don't do what I'm going to show you how to do tonight, I simply say the same thing over and over and over and over. I think the reason we struggle with prayer is not because we don't love God or we don't believe in the power of prayer and the power of God through prayer. I think it's simply that we continue to pray the same old things about the same old things. Prayers without variety become words without meaning. And so if you pray the same old thing about the same old things, prayers very quickly become boring. And when your prayers are boring, you're not going to pray. When your prayers are boring, you're not going to be committed to praying. And so if you don't feel like praying, you're not going to pray. And so your fervency and your consistency to pray is going to diminish. Which brings us to the next point. Our problem is not that we pray about the same old things. Now, remember we said the problem is they're praying the same old things about the same old things. The problem is not that we're praying about the same things. Generally, there are only 6 things that people pray for. Have you ever thought about this? What do you pray for? I guarantee you it fits into 6 categories. We pray for our families. We pray for our future. We pray for our finances. You ever pray for your finances? We pray for our work or our school. We pray for our church or our ministry. And we pray for our current crisis. And that could be a good thing or a bad thing, but we pray for our current crisis. They tell us that people face a new crisis about every 6 months. About every 6 months, some big new thing, good or bad, happens in your life, and you pray about that. But aside from those six things, there's nothing else to pray for. We pray for our family, our future, our finances, work and school, church and ministry, and whatever the crisis is. That's all we pray for. Now, is that a bad thing that that's all we pray for? No, it's not a bad thing. We tend to pray about the same things. The problem is that we say the same old things about the same old things. The reason people don't enjoy praying is because not we're praying about the same old things, but we're saying the same old things about the same old things. We just keep saying the same words over and over and over. I heard a story about a man who was invited up to pray in front of the church one day, and he was a deacon and a respected part of the church, a servant, been faithful for many years. But he starts praying it was an offertory prayer. And so as he was praying, this guest speaker that I heard this from said I was hearing like an echo. And I looked up and I recognized that there was a kid about four rows back, and he was praying word for word with the man who was standing in the pulpit praying. And it was a long prayer. And he said, you know, I listened, I thought, you know, what is he reading it off out of the worship bulletin? I mean, what's the deal? He said, as I watched, I recognized that was the praying man's son. And he had heard him pray the same stinking prayer over and over and over till he had it memorized. Now listen, that's not praying. Saying the very same things every time is boring, and it's just not praying. So what's the solution? Well, whatever it is, whatever the solution to this problem is, it's got to be fundamentally simple. You know, you can go to the bookstore, and I'm not knocking the bookstore, and a lot of helpful tools that you can find there, but a lot of the things you find are just not available to most people in the world and have not been available throughout most of history. And so God has not created prayer and made it so difficult that the only people in the world who can really pray are people who are wealthy enough to go to a Christian bookstore in modern day United States of America. And so as helpful as some of those tools are, that can't be the secret to praying. The secret to praying can't be some new devotional book that your favorite devotional writer just came out with. And you say, finally found the secret to prayer. Well, why can't that be God's secret to prayer? Well, because most people in the world never heard of that devotion book. And God hasn't created prayer just as something that you can do. Prayer is universal. Whatever the secret to prayer is, this secret needs to be available to people who have lived from Christ forward, right? It needs to be something that was available in the first century. It needs to be something that was available in the Middle Ages. It needs to be something that's available today. And it's got to be something you don't have to spend any money on, right? Because all Christians everywhere just could not afford to purchase something. Whatever the solution is, it must be fundamentally simple. So here's the solution. And I need to credit somebody with this. Well, you'll see in a moment. I think it was Jesus who instituted this. But what I'm going to say about it today comes mostly from Dr. Donald Whitney. And some of you may have read some of his books, and he wrote a book, Praying the Bible. It's just a real short book. If you're interested in this, you ought to pick up the book, and it'll sound a whole lot like what I'm telling you tonight. I think it just came out a couple of years ago, but I read it as soon as it came out. It's an excellent book. Any book you can find by Donald Whitney is worth reading. It'll help you deepen your walk with the Lord. But Donald Whitney says, and we'll see in a moment, it's a biblical thing as well, but Donald Whitney says that the solution to praying the same old things about the same old things is to pray the Bible. We need to learn to pray the Bible. Now, before I go into the details of how to do this, probably the best thing to do is just to show you, right? And so that's why it's important for you to have your outline tonight. So if you turn to, I guess it would be page 3 of your outline, it has Psalm, the 23rd Psalm on that page. And so what I'd like to do is let me just pray the 23rd Psalm and show you how to do this. So you follow along with me, And you might even take a note or two if you want, or just sort of follow along. And let me show you how to use Psalm 23 as a guide to your prayers. Now, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to read a verse, and then I'm going to pray everything that comes to my mind that's prompted by the verse that I've read. All right, now it's better demonstrated than explained, and so let me pray. Father in heaven, I read Psalm 23, and it begins by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." Father, I am thankful that you are my shepherd. I know that you provide for me like a shepherd provides for his sheep. I know that you guide me and you help me make decisions and you give me discernment when I don't know which way to go, just like a shepherd guides his sheep. Father, I know that you protect me, and I'm thankful that you protect me. I know this last Friday, I had to do a lot of traveling, and I was driving, and I got sleepy, and I was concerned about my safety, and I prayed, and Father, you protected me, and I'm thankful that just as a shepherd protects the sheep, so you protect me. Father, I'm thankful that you have shepherded me for a long, long time. I'm thankful that for 30 years I've been following you, and for 30 years you have been my faithful shepherd. Father, I'm thankful that you are the shepherd to my children. Father, I'm thankful that my children turn to you when they're looking for decisions and when they need wisdom. And I pray that, especially as my oldest daughter goes off to college, that in a real way, in a tangible way, that she will sense and she will know that you are her shepherd. And Father, I know that she will face some difficult times, some unanticipated decisions. There will be temptations that she's never known before. And I pray that whatever she faces and whatever she goes through, that she will see you as her shepherd. And that she will be reminded that you'll provide for her if she'll lean on you, that you'll protect her, that you'll guide her, and that you'll feed her. Father, I've been praying for her choice of a church in her new city. And Father, I pray that she'll find a group of people, some Christians there, that can help shepherd her in this phase of her life. Father, I'm very concerned about that, and I know it's a big decision, but it's a decision that I can't or shouldn't make for her, and I pray that you will lead her to that shepherding place. Father, I pray that you'll help me be an under-shepherd just in the church where you have sent me. Father, give me the wisdom to know how to make decisions, and help me to be the kind of shepherd that can feed the flock and teach the word. Help me to be the shepherd that will be fearless and protect the sheep that you've given me responsibility for. Lord, thank you that you are our shepherd. Father, I read in the scripture in verse 1, it says, "I have what I need." Father, I'm thankful that you've blessed me so much. And, you know, when I think about, even in the last few months, I was so worried that I wouldn't be able to sell my house in Ohio, but in an almost miraculous way, a providential way, you stepped in and you had somebody buy my house, and we're not closed. Father, I pray that we are able to close without any problems, but I'm thankful how you've provided for me there, and I'm thankful here that you've provided. And there were some question marks for a while. Was I going to be able to get a new loan while I still owned a house in Ohio? And it was uncertain for a while, but you provide what I need, and I thank you for that. Father, I pray in the days to come that you'll meet my needs, that I'll be faithful and a good steward of what you've given me, but that you'll meet my needs. And Father, I read in verse 2, it says, "He lets me lie down in green pastures." Father, I'm thankful today I was able to have a nap. And I was sleepy and I was tired, and what a refreshing time just to rest today. It says that you will lead me beside quiet waters. Thank you that that as hectic as life can be, that you give me peace. All right, time out. Now, do you see what I've done? So I just read a phrase out of God's word, and then I pray whatever comes to mind. Now, do you see some interesting things here? First of all, you'll end up praying about some things you never would have thought about praying for before. So I was praying, and I pray often for Hannah and my oldest daughter. She goes off to school soon and all the decisions. But you see how it changed a prayer that could very easily have sounded like this: "Lord, bless Hannah when she goes to school. All right, now to the next kid." I don't know if your prayers tend to sound like that, but mine do. And I will let's say when I'm praying for the staff here at church, if I don't pray the Psalms, here's how those prayers sound a lot of times. Lord, bless Andre. Give him wisdom. Make him be nice to his wife. Lord, bless David. Bless Melanie. Bless Jonathan. Bless Raina. Bless, and I just, see, I can just go through the list. And sometimes I think we do that as a Christian. We have these prayer lists, which is something that some Baptist came up with sometime. You'll find that phrase in the Bible. But we have the prayer list, and so we just say, Lord, bless, ditto. And then we just go down through and read the list. And that's not an exciting prayer. But if you'll let God's word guide your prayer, you'll end up praying. You're still going to pray for the same six things. I didn't pray for anything in that 3 minutes I just prayed there. I didn't pray for anything that wasn't on the list of six. You tend to pray for the same six things all the time. But I prayed for it in a different way. Prayer will be about the same old things, but you won't say the same old things about the same old things. Your prayer will come alive. Now, I wasn't timing myself, so I don't know how long I spent, maybe 3 minutes on a couple of verses. So you see, if you went a little further, and some people will go a little faster and some people go a little slower. When I was taught how to do this, I heard somebody pray for nearly an hour just on Psalm 23, verse 1, just the Lord is my shepherd. And they just went on and on and on. And different things came to their mind, and they prayed about that. Sometimes you'll go through the Psalms very quickly, and it might take you 5 minutes to get through five verses because you'll go a lot faster. But if you'll do this, you'll end up praying about the same six things, but your prayers will come alive. So now let me tell you a few more things about this, and then we're going to practice. Pray until you run out of psalm or you run out of time. And so when I do this, and I do this often, I just pray until I run out of the psalm or I run out of time. Just pray as long as you want to pray. You don't have to stop at a certain point. You don't have to pray till you get to the end of the psalm. I mean, you could be in Psalm 119. It'd take you 7 years to pray through that psalm. This isn't something where you got to check it off and God will say, oh, you stopped three verses short. That's not a legit prayer. No, just pray as long as you want to pray. Don't feel like you have to finish the psalm or pray every verse in the psalm. If I read a verse and nothing comes to mind for me to pray about, then what do? I read the next verse. I just keep going. Pray even if what comes to mind isn't directly related to the text. Now, here we need to be careful. I'm not saying that we should misapply the text. But I'm saying when you pray, you need to be focused on what the Lord is prompting you to pray, not carefully exegeting the text. Now, the reason I say that is important, and you know if you've been here the last few weeks how important it is that we exegete the text. But this is prayer, and I want you to feel free just to communicate with the Lord, not to stumble over your words and be so concerned about proper interpretation. In fact, maybe you're praying Psalm 130, verse 3. Which says, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who can stand? Okay, and when you read that the Lord should mark iniquities, you think about your friend Mark, okay? What should you do? Well, pray for Mark. Now, I'm not suggesting that Psalm 130, verse 3 is about Mark, but if Mark comes to mind, pray for Mark. Now, the reason I say that is not to say that biblical interpretation is not important. That's all we're talking about. What I'm saying is you ought to let the verses be a tool in the Holy Spirit's hand to just direct you to how to pray and pray for what comes to mind. This will lead to more biblically shaped prayers. You know, the Psalms are the only divinely inspired prayers we have. And so if you want your prayer language, to use that word in a little different way than it's often used. If you want your prayer language to be pleasing to the Lord, why don't you pray the things that the divinely inspired prayers speak about? Even brand new Christians can do this immediately. This is the amazing thing. This isn't something that takes 10 years of practice. In fact, we're going to practice here in a moment, and I promise you, everybody in here, you're going to do great at this the first time. This isn't something where you have to work and work and work and work and learn how to pray. If Now, it'll change over time. The nature of your prayers will change because you will get better at praying. But you can do this. You may have never heard of this before, but you can do this in a minute. You'll be able to do it very well. And then in the Psalms, God reveals how he wants us to praise him. So it's revealed in the Psalms how we should praise him. So why not let the Psalms be the foundation of our prayers? So let me just share with you a few people who did this, because I know some of you are thinking, I've been a Christian a long time. I can't believe that you've come up with some new way to pray. This is not biblical, Pastor. If it were biblical, we would have heard about it before. But let me share with you that I'm not the first person to suggest this. So I've got a few examples, and I could give you a number more, but I got a few examples there in your outline. First of all, George Mueller. Do you know George Mueller? Widely considered one of the greatest men of prayer and faith since the days of the New Testament. Mueller had over 50,000 specific recorded answers to prayers in his journals, 30,000 of which he said were answered the same day or in the same hour that he prayed them. So he was just an extraordinary man. And you may have known some of the things that he'd done, all the orphanages that he started, all of the people's lives that he touched. But if you take those numbers and you divide it out, that's 500 definite answers to prayer every year. That's more than one a day, every single day for 60 years. George Mueller had God. He never asked for money, by the way. All of these incredible ministries that he led, he never asked for money, yet God funneled over a $500 million through his hands in answer to prayer. He would have needs, the orphanage would have needs, and he would just pray, and 2 o'clock that afternoon, somebody would come in with a $10,000 check and meet a need that they didn't know about, and he didn't advertise. It's just amazing. Like I said, it's all the way back to the New Testament. There's really nobody whose story has been recorded that has been such a man of prayer as George Mueller. But look what he said about his prayers. Now, here's a man who prayed every morning for hours. Was it George Mueller that said, did he pray 4 hours a day, if I remember the story? He said he was so busy he couldn't afford to spend less than 4 hours a day in prayer. I think that was George Mueller. But listen to what he says. This is a quote from him. He said, "The difference then between my former practice and my present one is this. Formerly, when I rose, I began to pray as soon as possible and generally spent all my time till breakfast in prayer, or almost all the time. At all events, I almost invariably began with prayer. But what was the result? I often spent a quarter of an hour or half an hour or even an hour on my knees before being conscious to myself of having derived comfort, encouragement, humbling of soul, and often after having suffered much from wandering of mind for the first 10 minutes or quarter of an hour or even half an hour, I only then really began to pray." So here this prayer expert said that he would pray sometimes for an hour before he really felt like his prayers had begun, that he was distracted, that he wasn't connected with the Lord. He says, "I scarcely ever suffer now in this way, for my heart is being nourished by the truth, being brought into experimental, we would say experiential, difference in English usage there, experimental fellowship with God. I speak to my Father and to my friend, vile though I am and unworthy of it, about the things that he has brought before me in his precious word. It often now astonishes me that I did not sooner see this." So George Mueller, for years, it would take him 15 minutes to an hour before he felt like his prayers really began, because he was distracted. You get distracted when you pray, and he would get distracted and he just couldn't concentrate. But when he started praying the scripture, when he started reading a verse and praying what comes to mind and reading another verse and praying what comes to mind, he said that was the point that his prayer life completely changed. That's an encouragement to us. Well, how about Spurgeon, the great English preacher? He said, "We should pray when we are in the praying mood, for it would be sinful to neglect so fair an opportunity." So if you're in the mood to pray, you should pray. "We should pray when we are not in a proper mood, for it would be dangerous to remain in so unhealthy a condition." And the way Spurgeon prayed is he read a verse and he prayed. And he read a verse and he prayed. Now let me show you that this happened in Scripture as well. Jesus, when he was on the cross, he carried on a little bit of a conversation, a prayerful conversation with the Lord. And scholars have taken the things that he said and they've matched them up with Psalm 22 through Psalm 37. And you know, Jesus would have had that passage memorized, most likely. Most Jewish boys would have, Jewish young men would have. And if you take the things that Jesus said on the cross and you match them up with Psalm 22 through 37, 34, what you discover, what may have happened there is that Jesus was just praying the Psalms. He was reciting in his head the Psalms that he had memorized, and he was praying portions of them out loud. And I'll show you this. Matthew 27, 46 says, about 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Now, was he the first person to say that? No. Psalm 22, 1 says, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far from my deliverance and from the words of my groaning?" And then a little later, and we see it recorded in Luke 23, 46, it says, "And Jesus called out with a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit.' Saying this, he breathed his last." And so now he's at the end. And so he says this. Is he the first person to say this? No, it's right out of Psalm. Psalm 31, 5, "Into your hand I entrust my spirit. You have redeemed me, Lord God of truth." Scholars believe that Jesus, perhaps when he was on the cross, for comfort and for guidance, he went through the Psalms in his head and he prayed the Psalms. We see that Peter and John did the same thing, and I'm running short of time, so I'm going to let you read that later on. But Acts 4 contains the prayer that they prayed, and many of the words that they said seem to have come straight from the Psalms. Scholars believe that they were praying the Psalms. So here's what I want us to do. Look at Psalm 20 on your outline, verses 1 through 9. Here's what I want you to do. And this will be a little weird. I know audience participation is not your favorite thing. But I want us to pray the Psalms for about 7 minutes, okay? I'll time you. We won't be here forever. Now, 7 minutes. Let me just say this. Sometimes when you talk about praying for a certain amount of time, people will think, "Oh, I could never pray an hour." Have you ever thought if we said, "Well, we're just going to come here and we're going to pray for an hour"? I know. I mean, we would act spiritual about it. "Oh, yeah, I'll do that." But in the back of our minds, what are we thinking? Pray for an hour? What is he talking about? I can't pray for an hour. Is there going to be a TV on in the background? I mean, listen to the news or something while everybody's just praying. You know, we think about praying for an hour, that seems daunting. Or even praying for 10 minutes can seem daunting. But let me tell you, when you pray the Psalms, there's no end. You will run out of time because you need to brush your teeth and get to work, okay? But you're not going to run, you're not going to get bored and run out of stuff to pray about. It will feed you, the Holy Spirit will feed your mind with an ever-lengthening list of things to pray for. So, you remember how to do it. You're just going to read a phrase, and then anything that comes to your mind associated with that phrase, you're going to pray for it. And then you're going to read the next phrase, and you pray for whatever comes to mind, and you just work through this at your own pace. All right? Are you ready? Let me ask you to bow your head. I'm going to start us off, then I'm just going to be quiet. We're going to pray silently for about 5 minutes, 7 minutes, and you just pray through the psalm. Father, I'm thankful that you've given me, that you have returned to me joy in my praying. And that is in large part because I pray the Psalms now. And so, Father, as we read Psalm 20, I pray that with every phrase you will bring thoughts to my mind, to all of our minds. Show us what we should pray for, and let us bring our request to you. Now, you pray. All right, and all God's people said amen. Now, I know, some of you just sat there and watched your watch. but hopefully many of you prayed through this, and hopefully a light came on. So I wonder how far you got. I'll just tell you that I couldn't get past verse 4. May he give you what your heart desires and fulfill your whole purpose. And so my heart desires a lot of things. So when I read, give you what your heart desires, I could have continued talking to the Lord for a long time about that and fulfill your whole purpose. I prayed for God, help me to know exactly what my purpose is, for my life, but also for this next week. And I started praying about priorities, and then, that my family would have the right priorities. And I could see that I was going to be stuck on verse 4 for a long, long time. But here's what I hope you got from that. You just prayed for the same six things that you've prayed for every day for the last year. But I guarantee if you did it, you just prayed with different words for those same six things. And hopefully it brought some newness and some freshness to your prayers. Now, the good thing is there are 150 psalms. And by the time you get to the last one, you will have forgotten the first one. Now, I should tell you this. I mean, I carefully picked Psalm 20 and Psalm 23 because those are two of the easiest ones to do. Some psalms are a little tougher, but don't let it deter you. If you read a psalm and there's four or five verses there that just nothing clicks with you, then just skim on through it and keep, because this is not a class assignment. Skip down until you're reading something where the Lord is highlighting things that you should pray. And I would love to hear, if you do this for a week, I'd love to hear a week from now, send me an email or a letter, if this has impacted your prayer life, chased away the boredom, and made you more excited about spending time with the Lord each day in prayer. All right? God bless you. We'll see you next week.